new telescopes were opening up the cosmos very rapidly by the time Galileo died in 1642. 17th century natural philosophers did not fully realize it just then, but they were about to resolve another ancient question. Is light transmitted instantaneously, or does it have finite speed? Galileo believed that light took time to travel. So did Muslim scientists before him, as well as Roger Bacon, who worked on basic optics in the 13th century. But Kepler, Descartes, and many other important thinkers believed that light was transmitted instantaneously. Most of us, by the way, instinctively make the same presumption about the speed of gravity. Ask yourself this one: if the sun were to somehow magically disappear, would we instantly spin off into space, or would we have to wait for several minutes before the lingering gravitational pull of the sun released us? So, did we have to wait for modern physics to get answers? Well, maybe for the gravity part, but we knew the speed of light much sooner. In 1644, one Ole Rømer was born in Jutland, Denmark. Rømer took up the study of astronomy, and during the fall of 1675, he was to be found working in Paris with French astronomer Jean Picard. By the way, in addition to being the namesake of Star Trek's Jean-Luc Picard, the astronomer Picard was also first to observe neon lighting. Rømer was studying the movement of Jupiter's nearest moon, Io. He tracked it as it orbited in and out of Jupiter's shadow. It entered the shadow, then reemerged 42 hours, 28 minutes, and 35 seconds later. Naturally, he expected that to repeat over and over, but something was wrong. Each transit was taking just a few seconds longer than the one before it. All that winter, Io kept appearing further and further behind schedule. By spring, it was emerging from Jupiter's shadow a full 15 minutes later than it should have. That was crazy. Was the solar system slowing down? Then Rømer realized Earth was hundreds of millions of miles further from Jupiter in the spring than it was in the fall. Light had to travel all that extra distance. It obviously needed extra time to do so. Rømer put pencil to paper and concluded that light had to move 192,500 miles per second to go the extra distance in 15 minutes. Just to be sure, he calculated that we'd get the 15 minutes back as Earth returned toward Jupiter, and we did. So, Rømer had a value of the speed of light accurate within 3%, only 66 years after Galileo turned his telescope upon the moon. I take my account of Rømer's story from John Tyndall's 1883 book on light and electricity. After he told Rømer's story, Tyndall quoted more recent estimates of the speed of light. One was worse than Rømer's. In other words, your great-grandparents had no better knowledge of the speed of light than scientists did when Isaac Newton was still young. Now, I mention Newton because when Rømer made his measurement, Newton was on the trail of gravity. He'd already formulated most of his Principia, but he was sitting on it. Then Halley, of Halley's Comet fame, asked Newton about gravity. Newton answered by showing how his law of universal gravitation could be used to predict elliptical orbits of planets. And after that, he got to work and finished the Principia in 1687. Now gravity was out on the table, wanting to be explained. Newton ducked when he was asked why his law was true. "I don't make hypotheses," he said. "And what about the speed of gravity?" Newton thought about that the way that Pascal had thought about light, that it was transmitted instantaneously. Einstein, on the other hand, believed that gravity traveled at the same speed as light. And only now, in 2003, have astronomers finally claimed to have measured the speed of gravity. They've measured how light from a distant quasar bent as it passed around Jupiter, and from that they deduced how fast gravity travels. They've concluded, with 80% confidence, that light and gravity really do move at the same speed. It is sobering to reflect on the knowledge of our forebears. We knew the diameter of Earth within 15%, 2,200 years ago. We've known the speed of light for more than three centuries. If this new measurement proves to be valid, we will finally have answered what turns out to be a 300-year-old question about the transmission of gravity. And so there was life before the computer, before Einstein, and even before electricity. But as we began looking at the immensities of space and velocity, a new mystery now began forming. Time, which we'd previously so taken for granted, began to reveal a very mysterious side indeed.